And again, it's great to get together and corporately spend time in prayer. But the Bible also talks about going to our private places and spending time in prayer as well. And I hope that you're able to do that sometime today. Get off in your office, shut the door, turn off your phone, ignore your computer, go in the broom closet, walk downstairs, go to the bathroom. That's the only place you can get a quiet moment. I know there might be some moms here. That's the only way you can get away from your toddlers. But take a few moments and just thank God for what he's done in your life, your family's life, our country, our cities, those who protect and serve. There's a lot of things that we need to pray for. We got an email recently from a listener who is in dire straits, looking to take his life, sad that he's failed, was jealous that Aaron Hernandez succeeded, struggles, says the church is making it hard. There's a challenge for us at the church. I'm not saying we're doing it wrong. Sometimes I think when we talked about love, sometimes we forget that maybe it's just that touch and that little bit of love initially, but there are people out there like that. So thank you again for coming and taking time to pray. Well, our keynote speaker is Mike Church, but you never retired as a pastor. At least I don't think you ever are. I don't look at it that way. Pastored Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego for 41 years, and now his son is taking over that part of the ministry, and he's got a story with that. I don't know if he'll share it today, but it was an interesting story to hear. He's committed to serving in the community. He has served as a reserve officer, currently a chaplain for several police departments, Red Cross, a disaster medical assistance team. He's involved with Critical Incident Stress Foundation, the International Foundation. He's certified. He goes out. I like that because there are a lot of people that can get involved with these kinds of things that aren't believers, and they've got a great message maybe. But the thing that really gets us through these tough times is Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited that he's involved with that. Now that he's retired, or at least he's not pastoring the church, he's traveling more, has a passion to equip and strengthen pastors around the nation, encouraging them, mentoring them, supporting their ministries, speaks at churches, city outreaches. I think that one of the best legacies is the last part of your bio, Pastor. 6 children, 20 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren. Finds one of the greatest honors is being the patriarch of his family. That's the legacy. I love the church, don't get me wrong, but I love the legacy of the family, and he and his wife Sandy have been married happily for 49 years. Isn't that cool? I like that. Amen. 51, that's an old. So do you have any more grandkids or great-grandkids that aren't listed there? There you go. So the legacy continues.
The Proverbs say that we should have our quiver full when it talks about children. And it's strange that I came from a broken family, was a foster child for a few years, and to have a big family has been one of the greatest joys of my life. But we don't have our quiver full. We're full and quivering, to be sure. I'd like to just read a short passage from the prophet Haggai. Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. And he's talking to the country at a time that it was spiritually where our country has been the last few years. And I actually, having taught this many times, got this message. Or I'm going to give you part of a thought here. It was in northern Iraq, maybe 15 minutes at the furthest from ISIS. There was a team that was put together to there's rescue people out there doing things, but there was a team that you read in the news about and heard in the news about, these young women. Their religion is Yazidi, and they are quasi-Christian. They have some non-biblical points of view, but they believe in the Lord Jesus and the Bible. And so I've got so much training in this area. I was invited on the team. It's a little bit of background. I did pastor for 41 years and 4 days. It was a little home Bible study. I throw the 4 days in there. Little Bible study started in San Diego, and I lived over 100 miles away. I was asked by these hippies in that time if I would go down to San Diego and teach these 5 or 6 people that work at a clothing store, ex-hippies. And I said, that's a lot of work for, you know, five or six people. And I was hounded for 6 months, literally. And I said, okay, I'll give you the summer. I'll give you 16 weeks, the Gospel of Mark, one chapter every week, and I'll be your friend after that. But I'm just too busy. So it grew to 1,000 people the first year. And the living room was too small, the house that we're meeting in. We went to a junior high school auditorium. That was too small. We went to Balboa Park, where the world's largest zoo is. And though there were a lot of animals in this Bible study, that didn't work out either. And so now today, I've seen the Lord spring off about 150 churches and parachurch organizations around the world, maybe 30-some churches just in San Diego County alone. So I wanted to know about serving San Diego other than preaching, teaching, going to hospitals and jails and officiating over weddings and funerals. And so a friend of mine was very close to the chief of police, and the chief was looking for some reserve officers that would be really a different kind of a reserve officer that would have contact in the city. And neighborhood policing was just starting to happen at that time. So the first day I met my chief, he wanted to make sure I knew he was Jewish. And I said, that's wonderful. And then he wanted to make sure that I wouldn't preach the blankety-blank blood of the lamb to his officers or shove the blankety-blank Bible down their throats. And I said, that's not my style, sir, but I appreciate this opportunity. I hope I make you proud. Well, after a few years, about 8 years or so of being a reserve officer, we had several police officers killed in a very short time. It just was too much for the department and the city. And this one young rookie, just off of probation, was in a gang-ridden area. He saw somebody that was wanted on a street corner late at night with known gang members, and he jumped out of his car and chased this young man. And apparently the young man, when he was just about ready to get tackled, turned around and shot the police officer right in the forehead, less than 5 feet away. He was alive on machines for 3 weeks. They tried two, if not three, brain surgeries, but the bullet was too deep there. I spent the better part of 3 weeks just, you know, preaching on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesdays, but being at that hospital. The officer's mom and dad divorced and got remarried. So now there's four people coming to see him. You got that part? Okay. His wife, Shondi's parents, divorced, and they got remarried. Now there's four parents over here and four over here. And strangely enough, there were some drinking problems, not just among one or two of them, but all eight of them. And there would be fights that would break out in the hospital. So I realized that they were really hurting, and I got a call, would I come down 2 a.m? I said, of course. And from that time on, I slept on the floor in the room where the parents wait, because many of them were sleeping on the floor. This man was maybe 24 years old. He was a track star in high school. He loved to chase the bad guys. Literally, he loved to run. And one day I came in at about 6:30 or 7, and the chief was standing there. He said, oh, over here. And I said, yes, sir, what can I do? He says, the wife is downstairs in the chapel, and I don't know what to say, but I think you do. And I said, you want me to go down there and talk to her? Said, yeah. Of all the questions for somebody and a stranger to ask you, she gave it to me. Who is God? Not what is God or where is God or why God, but who is God? We made it a little over 2 hours, and she finally bowed her head and prayed and received the Lord. And a couple days later, the doc said, you need to stay close by. He's not going to be here much longer. So on one afternoon, a couple days later, I was ministering to some police officers that were guarding the hallways and ICU. And I told his wife that, let's just go in and pray. I didn't tell her what I knew. Let's go pray. So we took him by the hand, and she said to him, he's in a coma. His machine line was basically bip, bip. It was just the machine keeping him alive. He was in a coma, deep, deep coma. She said, this is Pastor Mike. He pastors a church that I started going to since your accident. And he explained Jesus Christ to me. and I've asked Jesus in my life. And I want you to know, if you can hear me, please listen to what he says and receive Jesus. So I read John chapter 3 and held his hand and her hand together, prayed for him, explained there's light and darkness and his life is on the edge. And if he sees light and darkness fighting, he wants to go with the light. And you want to ask God to forgive you of your sins. So we prayed. And just as I started to turn around, she said, "Honey, if you understood what Mike said, would you blink your eyes?" She made it up on the spot. He blinked his eyes. That was the first movement in over 3 weeks. She started sobbing, and then she said, "Honey, if you still love me, would you blink your eyes?" And he blinked his eyes. So the next morning when he passed away, the doctor, head doctor, took me into a office of his and said, "Now, here's a printout we have from the machines in ICU. The head nurse told me you're there about 2:45, 10 minutes to 3. I said, "Yes, I'd do something wrong." "No, you have full access. I just want to show you that here's when you, apparently the nurse said you were holding his hand, and his wife says, "Yes." "Here's when you touched hands with him. Bip, 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 bip." And it peaked out about here, and it went all the way across here, and then bip, 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 bip. The nurse told me that this is when you and his wife held the hands. And I don't know what you told him, but I've got a really good idea of what it was. When you finished praying with him, she noticed that the wife had said something to him, and he responded by his eyes. And then when you left the room, bip, 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 bip. You know, the chief was so popular, he became the sheriff. He was called the top cop of California. We ended up being best of friends. He would call me discreetly in the middle of the night and say, "I have a friend that's in trouble. Would you go to this address and talk with them? I told them who you are." And you'd find a city council member with a drinking problem. Or, "I have a friend who lives next door to a couple whose five-year-old just drowned in a pond about an hour ago. Would you mind going over and introducing yourself to my friend, and he'll introduce you to them, and would you help him?" I mean, he was an evangelist without even knowing it. And just before he died, he started getting Alzheimer's. And we were doing a funeral service for an officer together. And this was standing room only, probably three times this number. And the sheriff at that time, he went to the academy with him, the man that was deceased. And he hated death notifications. He hated, he said, "Do you know what it's like to knock on a door at 3 a.m. and a mother comes to the door and sees the chief of police standing there with his suit and tie? Do you know how horrible that is?" And I said, "No, sir, but I can imagine. But I'm here to help you." He said, "I waited 30 minutes before I got the nerve to get out of the car and go knock on that door." Wow. When you stop and think of what's going on in the world, it's gone insane, literally. Good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. I learned a lot of things from this Jewish friend of mine. At this funeral, he was hyperventilating. He's just 4 or 5 years older than me, and I knew he was hyperventilating with his head down while people were listening to a song. And I just put my hand on his back and said, "Sheriff?" And out of the corner of his mouth, he says, "Yes, Mike. Heaven wants me to tell you that they love you." And I wondered, did I go too far? He goes, "What did you just say?" And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. "Heaven told me to tell you that they love you." And he just turned away for a moment. He said, "I can't believe heaven even knows I exist, let alone that they would love me up there." I said, "Well," he said, "how can you assure me of this?" I said, "Well, sir, I've been assigned to you for the last 32 years of your life, and the days are getting shorter for both of us." A week before he died, he sent over a World War II intelligence officer. And that man said, I was sent here by Bill Cullender, the sheriff of the county. He said, yes. Well, that's wonderful. We were in a Friday night gathering because we both have the onset of Alzheimer's. And I asked in a group therapy, what happens when we die? Where are we going? I really am concerned about that. And the sheriff said, I know just the guy you should go see. And he and his wife and the medical assistant pushing the wheelchair came. I asked my secretary to come in, sat. He told me his fears. If I lose my mind, I can't make a decision. Would God intervene? So we listened, and again, I opened John 3:16, that chapter, and read to him. And after a couple of hours, the medical attendant, the wife, and the husband, who was 83, I think, at the time, all joined hands together, and they asked Jesus to come into their hearts. We do a law enforcement breakfast every year, and he came late. I said, Sheriff, your seat's right up there. It's empty. I'll walk you to. He said, no, the district attorney is coming, and I've invited her. Well, she's an open, publicly known lesbian. She's a very good district attorney. She's done very well in her job. And I'd only seen her and talked to her just in short periods. She came off the escalator, and I said, the sheriff is sitting right down here, and I'll take you and your assistant down there. She said, oh, thank you so much, Mike. Bill told me that this is the one breakfast you should never miss while you're in power. I said, excuse me, you're talking about Bill Cullender, the sheriff, the Jewish friend? Yes, I'm talking about our Jewish friend. And he told you this is the one breakfast you don't want to miss? Yeah. And I thought, here's a Jewish chief of police evangelizing the upper echelon of San Diego County and a lesbian district attorney coming with him to a Christian event where a police officer is going to speak from around the country and there's going to be prayer said. I just thought that was so phenomenal. I mean, it's just wonderful how God loves each one of you individually. Remember the last words of Jesus? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the world doesn't know what it's doing. But there may be people in your sphere of influence, could be the gardener, that you're the only person on earth that is praying for their soul. It's so important. So let me just read these few verses to you. I'm sorry I missed my flight yesterday. And Bill called and said, you didn't get off the plane. And I said, well, so I caught the red eye last night and got here about an hour and a half ago. And I'm being held up with platform shoes and a straight spine in the back with a metal deal so you think I'm awake. And here's what I received. The things that ISIS has done made me so angry. When I found out from the Secretary General of the Kurdish Parliament and 10% of the parliament began talking, giving us a briefing. And I love America. Even when I was a little boy, I didn't know what it meant, but I love America because I love the people. We do have beautiful assets all over this great country. And in the last number of years, we've watched our country being stripped and taken apart piece by piece, bolt by bolt. Professional agitators, Communist Party USA, same ones that were on the campuses in the 60s, throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails, sticks at police officers. That thin blue line is so thin between you and the reality of what is out there. This man was talking as if we should have known what he's talking about. He's high authority. And there was a Navy SEAL, one of our security guys, across the room. It was a U-shaped with the members of parliament sitting here and our team and some security over here. And he kept looking like, are you getting what he's saying? And I listened and I interrupted him. I said, sir, it's not good for a man like me to interrupt a man like you, but I just need to know, you're actually talking about genocide. And they all looked at each other and mumbled in Arabic and said, yes, I'm talking genocide. We haven't been told this in America. He said, well, how many Christians do you think there are in Iraq? Think of a number right now. And I said, I should have memorized this. About 3 to 4 years ago, before ISIS came in, we had 1,800,000 known Christians. How many do you think we have today? This was been my first trip, so that would have been 2015. And I started thinking, now you think of the number, 1,800,000. So maybe 1,700,000? And they all looked at each other. And he said, you're not aware? I'm not aware. There are less than 300,000 Christians left. I interviewed people. I debriefed people. I tried to help their sanity come back. The stories of the Christian people simply because they believed in Jesus were horrible. So many family members watched as their dads and brothers, the males, were executed, pushed over into big, huge ditches. Now the news make it look like it's, oh, we've discovered 1,000 bodies. No, we've known about those bodies the minute they went in. But some force stopped us from being Americans. And they could not understand, and they verbally said, why do you not know what's going on here? And why haven't you come to rescue us? We've been waiting for America to stop this. And you come over not even knowing about it. Well, we're here to help. So genocide among the Christians. We met with two separate governors of the second and third largest cities in Iraq. We met with the general over the military, over law enforcement, and other officials, and we didn't know this. It wasn't just the pretty Yazidi women. It was any boy or any girl 5 years old and up that were beaten, molested, and sold as toys to perverts. And America's watch knew this. There were some women there that I think of them often and pray for them, will never have their sanity back again. And then there are those that just snap to and are doing all they can to help. Listen carefully. This is Haggai and his commandment that came to him from the Lord. The second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. This is what the Lord of hosts says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And when the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, he said, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your nice, luxurious homes, paneled or sealed, while my house lies in ruins? Now therefore, saith the Lord, consider your ways. That's something we want to check mark. Consider our ways. You have sown much, and you've harvested very little. Sign of God's judgment that we're working ourselves to death, that we still can't make ends meet. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you're never filled and sated. You clothe yourselves, but no one is really warm. And the person who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes in the bottom of it. Doesn't that sound like the Tuesday after Friday, when you got your paycheck on Friday? You took it to the bank, and there was a hole in the bottom of your bank bag. And on Tuesday, you're saying, whoops, I got four more days to go for my check. A bad economy is a sign of God's judgment. But it was the bad attitude. These people, otherwise corporately, God sees this. He sees the city. He sees the state and the county. He sees the United States and our territories. And when Israel turned their back on God, God's a gentleman, he stepped back from Israel. Very sad that they could not see the truth. Their eyes were blinded. And so the Lord is saying, you say it's not the right time. So I want to leave you with a couple questions, and the first one is this. When is it the right time to acknowledge the Lord and his work? We can make all sorts of excuses why we don't go to church. But now, because the church has become, as Jesus said, you'll be like salt thrown down, trodden under feet of men, you'll be good for nothing. I was good for nothing for the first 26 years of my life, and I don't want to die being called a good for nothing. It is so important that we take to heart today what you're doing. And if you could just let your mind wander a bit, and you could see Betsy Ross sitting at one of these tables, and the dress she must be wearing in her style, and the men are looking at George Washington and all the men with their muskets, and you're seeing scars and wounds. It was small groups like this that got together, that love the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and were so thrilled that they lived in a community of freedom, one nation under God, indivisible. But when you have people in the inside dividing a nation, a house divided shall not stand, Jesus said. And the fall of that house will be great. We almost fell in the last 24 months. There are still people that would like to make us fall. But it's people like you that are truly the salt of the earth. And there is no money. There's no military power or political power that can stop the judgment of God on a nation. But there is an exception to the rule. You and I have the power to get serious with God and say, now is the time to build your house in spirit and truth. Now is the time. Because, gentlemen, if you and I do not stand up for righteousness, we'll fall for anything and everything. Where have all the men gone that used to stand in the classrooms and tell the children right from wrong, coaching football teams and wrestling teams, and encouraging young fatherless children? I was so happy when I found out the mayor was also a high school athletic person, and it was an athletic director that took all my bitterness and anger and let me work it out in wrestling matches and running hurdles as fast as I can and taking down somebody in football or scoring a touchdown. He so, without me knowing it, just changed and channeled it. And now we see a whole group of people, youngsters, that are finishing their school, and they don't know anything. They've been programmed to be puppets. You and I have the power to change the evil that is going on today through prayer. When is it the right time to stand up for God? God has his blessings upon Lawrence because the leadership of Lawrence is acknowledging God. And when people do what they think they should do, they leave God behind. The last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, and the first verse of chapter 1 of Ruth, which comes after Judges, basically say the same thing. Ruth is like a microcosm of what life was like during the days of the judges. And here's what it said. And this most definitely has been America the last number of years. In the day that there was no king, president, czar, leader, In the day that there was no king, the judges did rule. Now, Ruth comes out of that and adds something to it and says, in the day that there was no leadership, there was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, and the judges did rule. It's called relativism. I will march in your parade if you'll march in my parade. I want to live this lifestyle, and if you'll endorse it, I'll let you live your lifestyle. We're in a bad position. But of all people in America, you're in a great position because you're willing to listen. God gave us one mouth and two ears. And he'd like us to listen twice as much as we do speak. So I encourage you, and I thank you, Mayor. So many cities have fallen. The murder rates have gone up. I've been the last few days, that's why I missed my plane. We had 7 people shot on Sunday afternoon, 20 to 30 people having a birthday party at the swimming pool of a large complex, apartments. This man, I don't want to divulge details, but I can share with you insights and things that have gone public. This man was a drinker. He was a young man. His girlfriend had broken up with him. He had a can of beer in his hand when the helicopter flew over and spotted him. And he was telling her, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. He's drunk, leaning back on a chaise lounge by the pool. Bang, 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 bang. And he had her on the phone and said, can you hear that? Well, the hearts of the police officers. It's so sad. Just young men. And he turned on them, and he was going to ambush the first ones into the pool area. And thank God that they got to him before he got to them, and the killing stopped. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I encourage you, pray. It doesn't take a lot to pray. I wrote a book called Falling in Love with Prayer. If you fall in love with prayer, you'll fall in love with God. Or if you fall in love with God, you'll fall in love with prayer. It just comes naturally to talk to him. Pray for your police officers. Pray for the military. Many people have their lives in harm's way in our society that you'll never know about because they are protecting you. God spoke and said, I am going to give you a break through all this. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And now we have a reprieve in our country. Now the resistance movement has come up. Light and darkness has separated. Violence on our streets. Fires and disrespect for the badge or the uniform. It shouldn't be happening, but it is. But Lawrence can be on the big map in heaven that God has many people in this city, and they mean business. And you'll watch crime go down. You'll watch the funds roll in and the benefits to the taxpayers blossom forth because righteousness reigns. Take this opportunity to answer his question. When is it the right time to build that which is God's? When is it? It's right now. So, Father, we thank you so very, very much for these police officers that are here in uniform and for the mayor and other officials. Thank you that they are not embarrassed. They aren't ashamed. They're not looking over their shoulders, having to be politically correct. They're standing up for you and being counted. And as heaven looks down at every table, you will write that down in a book of remembrance. And may you honor these volunteers that served us and cooked this meal. may you honor and bless the pastors that are here and their families and protect them. May you bless all the first responders and keep them and their wives safe and their children or their husband. So we honor you this day. And we know that Lawrence, Indiana may be insignificant to many people. But for you, we know there are no insignificant people. You loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless this community. Prosper this community. Keep the bad guys out. Let the men stand up and be men to be counted to protect the weak and those that can't speak for themselves. Lord, honor these people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. What a great message. A couple minutes and we're going to cut you loose. I just want to encourage you. I don't know if you caught the message that I did. If we are salt and light, if we live for Christ, people will seek us out. So when hard times come, they're going to go, hey, I'm going to go talk to whoever because they appear to have the answer. Let me just close. The Lord told Moses to tell Aaron to bless the people in this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the writer in Numbers says, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.